So, as Maureen mentioned, I'm getting ready to go to Jamaica at the end of this month. So I know next Sunday we have a joint service with the Chinese congregation. And then after, on that Sunday, it will be a guest speaker that will be coming in. I'm leaving on the 28th, and I'll be back on January 6th. And when I come back, maybe I haven't shared this with you guys already, but I'm planning to start full-time here at the church and be a little bit more committed to, you know, just the ministry here. And so when I come back, I'm excited to, you know, kind of hit the ground running with some different things. And as I've been sharing with you, my hope is in the new year to start going through a series with you guys on spiritual warfare. And I'm going to ask that you pray not only for the mission trip coming up, but also for the series that we will be going through. I think it's going to be a great opportunity for us to become more aware of certain things as Christians. And I'm also hoping that it will help to equip us in our journey as Christians. So I'm excited for that. There might be some other things that we will look to do in the new year, but things that I will share as we go along, okay? So before we get into today's sermon, let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer, just to cover the time in the word. Father, we just thank you for your word today. Your word has the ability to just expose everything in our life that is right and that is wrong. And I just pray that your word would remind us today about who we are in Christ, but that it would also challenge us to continue to take our faith seriously, take our relationship with you seriously, because it is that serious, God. It was serious when you sent your son to this earth. He left all of his divine privileges and came down and took on the humble position of a slave, of a servant. And God, that was very serious to you. And in response to that, we want to live authentic lives as Christians. So continue to teach us and guide us, Holy Spirit, on how we can do that. And I just pray right now that you would use me to share your word in love. In your name we pray. Amen. So I actually just want to start today with asking you guys a question, because we've been on this series of identity in Christ. And today will be part four of this series. It will be the conclusion of this series. But if I were to ask you, and I just want you to be honest with yourself, be honest with God. If I were to ask you, who are you? What would be the first thing that comes to mind? If I said, who are you? Okay, whatever that thought is, you know, whatever you identify with, just think about that for a minute. Who are you? Because this is what we have been learning about who we are in Christ, okay? So everyone has that initial thought in your mind about who you are. I'm not going to ask you to share, just hold on to it, okay? Because we're going to continue to see what God says about who we are. So we've been on this series of identity. And we've been on a journey of understanding who we are in Christ. And just to do a quick review, the first truth that we learned about is that you are loved and you are chosen. Okay, extra points if you remember what SAS stands for. Okay, in God and in Christ, we are significant, we are accepted, and we are secure. Okay? You have to do your best to remember that. Because in actuality, the truth is that most Christians struggle to believe that truth. Despite everything in their life, good or bad, struggles or not, failures or not, many Christians struggle to believe that they are accepted, significant, and secure in God. That this Bible actually says that there is nothing in this life, present or future, that can ever separate us from the love of God. So we are loved. We are chosen by God. And that is what the Bible says. Truth number two is that you are seen without fault. Okay, it doesn't matter if you have grown up with a lot of shame or guilt. Okay, I heard a brother this morning teach, and he's Cantonese. And he said that he grew up in a household where no matter if he did something right or wrong, everything that his parents told him, he would receive the blame for it. Even if he got hurt, his parents would blame him. Why did you get hurt? Why did you do that? He never grew up in a household where feelings or emotions were allowed. You couldn't cry without being blamed. You couldn't express anger without being blamed. And I think this is pretty typical in most Asian households. But what he was sharing is that he grew up with this understanding of shame and guilt. And he struggled to understand God's love for him. And that he didn't need to be shameful or feel guilty or feel condemned. Because that is not actually how God looks at us. But sometimes we view God in the same way that we have experienced life, either as a child or as a teenager or even as an adult. And sometimes those experiences carry over into our relationship with God. But the Bible says that you are seen without fault. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, where God doesn't actually see us as sinners. And if you think that you are still a sinner in need of God's grace, then you are actually thinking very wrongly about yourself, not actually how God thinks about you. But God sees us as his children, his sons and his daughters, who at times may give into sin, but not as a sinner. That is not our identity. We are identified as children of God. And he doesn't see our sin. He remembers our sin no more. What he actually sees is the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. Anytime we mess up, God remembers our sin no more. He sees the blood of Jesus Christ. We also understood, well, that's not just a free opportunity to live however we want, but we need to live in reverence of who God is. And anytime we come in direct, face-to-face, direct, I'm thinking of the word, I don't want to say opposition, but when we come into direct contact with God's word, we have to choose obedience, despite what we want, or despite what we think is best for us. Why? Because this is God's desire for us, that he sees us as his children. And as his children, we want to obey him out of love and out of reverence. Okay? So, truth number one, you are loved and you are chosen. Truth number two, you are seen without fault. And truth number three is that we have a priceless inheritance. Okay? Now, when was the last time you took some time to seriously think about your inheritance in heaven. Okay, I know sometimes we have to think a lot about our inheritance here on earth. Okay, what we're going to do after we retire or when our jobs are done. But when was the last time you thought about your inheritance in heaven? And our inheritance in heaven is not just a physical place. It's not that as Christians we get to spend eternity in heaven. Our inheritance is that as Christians we get to be with God forever. It is when our relationship is fulfilled. We be with God forever. We are in His presence forever. Okay, it's not about getting to a place, but it's about being with a person forever. That is our inheritance. We get to see Christ face to face and be with Him forever. So truth number three about our identity in Christ is that we have a priceless inheritance. 1 Peter 1, 3-5, it says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by His power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see." I want to point out, God is protecting you by His power until we receive the fullness of our salvation. Okay? The race, the journey of Christianity, it's a long journey. Okay, I always look around this room, I see young people, I see slightly older people. And we need to understand that the Christian race is a long journey. And what I pray for you guys is that you would actually last all the way to the end. That you will make it all the way to the end. Because there are going to be many challenges. There's going to be many struggles. And my prayer for you is that you are able to make it all the way to the end to receive the fullness of your salvation, your inheritance. I've been a pastor for a while. I've been a Christian for a while. I've seen many people quit in their journey. I've seen many people uncommitted in their journey. I've seen many people give up God for things that they think are more valuable when it will mean nothing on the day when Christ returns. And while that is a sad reality, it is a real reality. That there may be some of you in this room that don't actually make it all the way to the end. And it all depends on how serious you are about your faith and your relationship with God. That at the end of the day, God says by His grace, by His power, He is protecting us so that we can make it to the end. So that when we do get to the end of our race, we have endured. We have overcome and we have been victorious. It is a long race. It is a long journey. But we need to endure all the way to the end. And here is a true fact. You will encounter suffering in your journey. Not everything will go well. Not everything will go as you want it to. It won't go as planned. But here's the fact and the truth is that it's not something that is supposed to be strange to us as Christians. In fact, Jesus tells us, the Bible tells us to suffer well, to be able to endure suffering, to be able to go through suffering with joy, to go through the trials, to go through the difficulties, to give up the things in our life that we want, to suffer well. So suffering is something that we need to embrace as Christians. It's something that we need to accept. And as we journey and as we maybe go through some suffering, it causes us to think about our priceless inheritance as well that we have. Listen to this verse, Colossians 3, 1 to 4. It says, "Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory." Okay, so there's a few things from here. Since you have been raised to new life. Who here has been raised to new life? You've been born again. You know that you have experienced God in a real way. You've committed your life to Christ and to following Christ. If you know that you have been raised to new life, well, what does God command us to do? He says, don't think about just the things of earth. Think about the things of heaven. Set your mind, set your life on the realities of heaven. Think about these things, the things of heaven, not the things of earth. If you live your life just thinking about the things of earth and just focusing on this temporary life, you're actually missing the point that we need to be setting our minds to the realities of heaven and seeking first the kingdom of God and prioritizing God and the things that God wants us to do. It says, when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all of his glory. Think about that for a minute. When Christ is revealed, you will rule with Christ, the Bible says. You will reign with Christ. We will be with Christ. We will judge angels. We will judge the nations. These are the realities of heaven that Jesus wants us to start thinking about. And we will share in all the glory with Christ. Today I want to remind you about your inheritance as a Christian, as a follower of Christ. And get you, get me thinking about the realities of heaven. Okay, so we're going to talk about a few of these realities in heaven. But first, let's just understand something about heaven. Okay, Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 12, 2 to 4. It says, and he's talking to the church in Corinth, "I was caught up to the third heaven 14 years ago. Whether I was in my body or out of my body, I don't know. Only God knows. Yes, only God knows whether I was in my body or outside my body. But I do know that I was caught up to paradise and heard things so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words. Things no human is allowed to tell." So Paul says he was caught up to the third heaven. Okay, and he heard things. He witnessed things that was so amazing, so astounding, that they can't be expressed in words. That probably even right now, for us to fully understand it, our human minds would not be able to understand what Paul saw or what he heard. But if he said that he was caught up to a third heaven, and if you're hearing this for the first time, if there's a third heaven, right? Now this is just basic math. I'm not the best at math. But if there's a 3, then there's also a 1 and a 2 before that, right? So if there is a third heaven, well, we could probably conclude that there is also a first and second heaven. Okay, so if we can conclude that there is a first and second heaven, what do you guys think that is? What is the first and second heaven? And what is the third heaven? Right? Think about that. What do you guys think? And if this is the first time you've heard this scripture or heard about this, then we're going to learn what it is today. But the Bible talks about the atmospheric heavens. Okay, this is the first heaven. Okay, according to the Bible. This is the heaven that contains the clouds, snow, and rain. And it is the area where birds fly. When we go outside, this is the heaven we can physically see. So when we go outside, we look up, we can see the clouds, we can see birds. This is where rain and snow, that's where it comes from. It's the atmospheric heavens, okay? Also known as the sky. Okay, this is the first heaven. The second heaven is the outer space heavens. Okay, we can't physically see this with our eyes. But this is the domain of the heavenly bodies, like the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, and other celestial objects. Okay, we can see the moon at night, we can see stars at night, but we can't see the fullness of what those planets look like, or what those things look like. So the second heaven is the outer space heavens. Okay, so what is the first heaven? The atmospheric, the sky. The second heaven is the outer space heavens. Okay, and that means then the third heaven, which is what Paul is describing, is the dwelling place of God. Okay, this is the third heaven. And this is the place that has not been seen by anyone. Okay, no satellite can pick it up. No radar can pick it up. It doesn't matter how much technology China or the US or Russia come up with. They are not going to be able to detect the third heaven, the dwelling place of God. It is way beyond the atmospheric heavens. It is way beyond the outer space heavens. It is where God currently dwells, and where Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. This is the place where the Bible says Jesus is preparing a place for us, for all true Christians. This is our future home. This is what the Bible wants us to start to think about. To think about the realities of heaven. To think about this dwelling place. To think about what heaven will be like, what we are about to experience, where our priceless inheritance is. And so if I can share with you guys some true facts about the third heaven, the dwelling place of God. These are some truths from the Bible about what heaven will be like. In the third heaven, God is worshipped all day and night. Okay, Revelation talks about this, where John has a vision, he has a revelation of what is taking place in heaven. And he describes heaven as this beautiful place. And he uses imagery and he uses colors and he uses things to try to get us as the readers to understand. He talks about how around the throne room of God, it is like crystals. It looks like gemstones, jasper and carnelian, which is like a beautiful red color. And he says all the angels in heaven, all of the elders, what are they saying? Day in and day out, they are saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." God is being worshipped 24/7. Even right now, God is being worshipped. and the angels and the elders in heaven are saying, He is holy. He is holy. He is worthy. He is worthy. And this is why when we gather for worship, it's an opportunity for us to join with the angels, to join with the elders in heaven, and to declare, God, You are holy. You are holy. You are worthy. You are worthy. And to recognize and to understand that we are in the presence of an almighty God, a sovereign God, an awesome God, a holy God. Day and night, 24/7, in the dwelling place of God, He is being worshipped. He is being glorified. He is being honored. And if you have the opportunity, read Revelation 4 this week and understand what that looks like. In heaven, there will be no more tears, no more pain, and no more sorrow. Okay, we know this. Revelation 21 talks about that. In heaven, we will have brand new bodies. Okay, this is an amazing hope. It's an encouragement for all of us. Okay, I'll tell you, there's been a few things that have happened to me since I turned 40. Okay, and I know this is for all you young people. You guys aren't even close to 20 yet. Okay, but when I turned 40, three major things happened in my life. Okay, number one, I listened more attentively to my wife. Okay, even more than before when I was 30. Number two is I cared less about what certain people think. I just didn't care as much when I turned 40. Whether people would speak negative things or whatever, I just didn't care. And the third thing is certain things started to hurt a little bit more when I woke up in the morning. Okay, like weird things that I didn't experience. See, Maureen's laughing. She knows what I'm talking about. When I was 30, these things wouldn't happen. Like you wake up and your ankle hurts. Okay, or you wake up and your back hurts. Or, you know, your shoulder hurts. And you're like, I just slept. Like, why is something hurting? So these things started to happen. But, you know, as I am progressing through life, when certain things start to happen physically in your body, for me personally, it just reminds me of this truth. That one day, this body, it's not even going to matter. Okay, the Bible says this body is just decaying so that a new one can be built. So we will have new bodies in heaven. Okay, bodies that are going to be brand new, probably able to fly, and also able to not experience any type of pain. Okay, so this is our hope. This is our inheritance. And the most important thing, we will be face to face with Jesus and enjoy His presence forever. And I hope that excites you, right? Because we all have goals. We all have things we want to do on this earth. But I hope and I pray that nothing you want to do in this temporary life compares to what you will experience in our eternal future. That there is nothing in this life more pleasurable than being able to be with Jesus and journey with Him and eventually be with Him forever. There's nothing that can compare to that. There's no job, there's no type of success. There's not enough money. There's not enough hobbies. None of it can compare to this truth that as the children of God, He wants us to give our very best and live life to the fullest for Him while we are here on this earth, all to His glory. Do we need to eat, drink, have a job, live somewhere? Yes, absolutely. But we can't get distracted by the things of this earth or the things of the world. We need to stay focused on Christ. We need to stay committed to Christ. Because this temporary life will one day come to an end. And our real reality, where the Bible says our real life is hidden. Okay, you may live 70, 80 years here. Okay, you're going to live for 1,000 years in heaven. So, make the most of your time here. But our journey in heaven is going to be much longer. And we will be able to enjoy the presence of Jesus forever. This is our ultimate prize and inheritance. It is Christ. It is being with Him forever. This is the hope we should be sharing with the world. Having a genuine desire to see the lost saved and sharing in the inheritance that we have. This is why God, I believe, wants to remind us about our inheritance in heaven. Because when you think about the realities of heaven, you also think a little bit about the realities of hell. And it should cause us to think about those who are around us, who don't share this hope that we have. And are we willing to do something about it? Okay, I understand maybe some of us, we get fearful, we get shy. Oh, we don't want to tell our friend about Jesus. Eventually, it's going to be time to grow up and understand where it's not about you. And it's not about how you feel. But there's an eternal reality. There's an eternal destination here that is at stake. And while we have the privilege of this inheritance, there are many who do not. And it's not up to us to see people saved, but we do need to be faithful with telling them about Christ and about the hope that we have. And God, in accordance to His will and plan, will do something in people's heart to allow them to be saved. But as the church, we need to be faithful in telling people, because this is a hope that we want people to share with us and not to be left on the other side. When we are focused on the realities of heaven, it changes how we live as Christians. As Christians, we need to stay focused on Jesus and fulfilling His purposes because we have an understanding of the things that are to come. Okay, so we're thinking about the realities of heaven, which the scripture commands us to do. And I'm going to challenge you throughout this week, when you wake up in the morning, think about the realities of heaven. I don't often do that myself, but I've been trying to do it more, where I think about where my real life is hidden with Christ. And it should cause us, it should motivate us to think about others and to think about what their eternal destination is. And as we think about the realities of heaven, it should also cause us to think about, what are we focused on right now? What are we committed to? Are we fulfilling God's purpose for our life? I challenge you guys to take a look back on 2025. I know that between myself and Pastor John and Pastor Lamb, you guys have received some amazing teaching. But I will also submit to you that if you choose to do nothing with what you have learned, you will be in a far worse place spiritually in 2026. Because God does not just want us to listen to His word. He wants us to be doers of His word. He wants us to start to obey. So I'm very proud of some of you who have taken that step to get serious about knowing the Bible. And even during Sunday school, committing to reading Genesis throughout the week and then trying to understand, okay, what does it mean? That's an important part of being a Christian. Right? And building the right foundation in your life. Also, where some of you have, or you're thinking about maybe how you can start to serve or serve others or go on a mission trip or get more committed to telling others about Christ, that's good as well. Thinking about how you can actually grow as a disciple maker, to not just be receiving teaching all the time, but get to a place where you can actually teach someone else. That's great. If you take time to think about 2025 and ask God, God, how could I grow and mature in 2026 to actually continue to be a disciple of Christ? Well, that means Holy Spirit is working in your life. But if you're in the same place now that you were in 2024, then you need to ask yourself, why? Why are you in that same place? Why are you still struggling with the same things? Why are you still stagnant? Why are you still complacent? Why are you still being casual with your faith? I believe God wants to encourage us to take our faith seriously, take our relationship with Him seriously, get serious about the things that He wants for us as a church and also as His sons and as His daughters. But it will start with what we've talked about over the last 4 weeks. How do you view yourself? How do you think about yourself? Who are you? Okay, so what did you think about at the beginning of the message? Who are you? Be honest with yourself. Okay? This is who we are. We are God's child. We are a friend of Christ. We are a member of Christ's church. We are citizens of heaven. That's a real reality. You're not actually a citizen of Canada. That's a temporary citizenship. But in actuality, we are citizens of heaven. Okay? You're not just a citizen of China. You are a citizen of heaven. You are God's workmanship. You are a new creation. You are a minister of God. You are justified and righteous, secure in His hand, and free from condemnation. Okay, if even one of these things you thought about when I asked the question at the beginning, who are you? Praise God. If anything outside of this where you thought maybe, hey, I'm this, I'm that, well, let the truth of God's scripture, because this is all biblical about who you are in Christ. This is who we are. Okay, and this is who you are in Christ. As we enter the new year and we learn about spiritual warfare, I will tell you the number one thing that Satan and his kingdom will try to attack is this right here, is our identity in Christ. Because if he can attack our identity, then everything else in our life becomes chaotic. Okay, so we have to remember our identity in Christ. We have to remember, do our best to remember who we are in Christ. To remember that we are loved and chosen, seen without fault. We have a priceless inheritance, that we are citizens of heaven. That is where our real life is hidden. That is where our real life is secure in Christ. Okay, the Bible says we're just passing through this life. It's temporary. Everything in this life is temporary. It's not going to last forever. But this is where our real life is. So as we think about the realities of heaven, and as we think about our real life, let's begin to live in the way that God desires for us as His church and as individuals. I'm going to read this scripture one more time, and then we'll pray. Colossians 3. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all of His glory. Let's pray. Father, this is your word. And I pray that your word would convict our hearts about where our real life is hidden. If we have been distracted by the things of this world, or if we have got caught up in the things of this world, it just reveals that we haven't fully understood what our real identity is and where our real identity is. I pray through the power of your word and through the power of your spirit that God, you would reveal to us who we are, that we are your children, we are loved by you. And you call us into an amazing purpose. As we journey through this life, you want us to be focused on the things that will please you and honor you and glorify you. Because one day we will be in that real reality. That priceless inheritance will be real to us. And we will be in heaven. And we will be able to share your presence forever, be in your presence forever, and be with you, Jesus, forever. So I just pray that you would reveal to us what this looks like and help us to even think about the realities of heaven throughout this week, throughout our life, throughout our journey. And may it cause us to become more serious about telling others about you, and may it cause us to become more serious about our faith and our relationship with you, God. And I ask that you would strengthen us and use us for your glory. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.